Now today, friends, we come to the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and we're moving into the shadow now of the cross. We are moving into that section that has to do with the last things of his earthly life. And we find here that all these incidents, they took place the day before the crucifixion, and that's the ones recorded here. That was a busy day. Luke records for us only a segment of that day. He omits, for instance, the washing of the feet of the disciples. That day before his murder was a day of crisis, and the pyramiding of all things toward that central fact, his cross, and these transactions point us on to Golgotha, so that if we can't sing it, we can say it. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. All things are prepared for that event. And as Dr. Forsythe has put it, the cross is the center of gravity in a moral world. We find here heaven, hell, and earth were getting ready for the cross. And you have the mechanics of it here. In these first two verses, the religious rulers are plotting against him. That's earth. Then you find hell is plotting against him. Verses 3 through 6, Judas conspired diabolically to betray him. And then verses 7 through 13, it's heaven, Jesus and his disciples. They plan the last Passover together. Now let's look at these here at the beginning. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And this now is the Passover in which he'll die. And he's come up to Jerusalem. Luke has been very careful to tell us way back yonder in Caesarea Philippi, 6 months before, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem to die. And everything he's done since then has been a movement toward Jerusalem. He's here now. There has been the so-called triumphal entry. And there has been the Mount of Transfiguration. And now we've come to the day before. And what's happening? Well, verse 2, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. They would have taken him immediately and have slain him, but they were afraid of the people. You see, it's Passover. They are there from everywhere, and the people were for him. They were the silent majority, by the way. And then we find that hell is preparing for the cross, too. Listen to this. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Now, here is something we need to say. Is it possible for a Christian to be demon-possessed? And the answer, of course, is no. But it's possible for a church member who's not a Christian to be. And I think the meanest people in the world that I've met are not in the mafia, and they're not in jails. They're in the church. And I've met a few then in the church that I'm confident are demon-possessed. It'd be pretty hard to explain their conduct on any other basis. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot. And my friend, if you're going to stand on the sidelines and listen to the preaching of the gospel and do nothing about it but mix and mingle with God's people, the day will come when Satan will move in the old vacant house, or one of his demons, and take up possession. And that's what happened here. Judas Iscariot had rejected Jesus.